In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. There's an old story that goes, there was a farmer out plowing and prepping his field one spring, and he was feeling a little bit of uneasiness about his call in life. And so he prayed as he was on his tractor, and he said, "Please, Lord, give me a sign. I need some direction for where I'm supposed to go." Well, in a moment of heavenly inspiration, he looked toward the skies, and the clouds had started to shift and change. And as he sat on his tractor watching the clouds, and they formed the letters P-C. Well, the farmer went, "P-C, P-C. Preach Christ! Oh, it's Preach Christ!" So the farmer jumped off his tractor, and he sold the farm, and he went to seminary for 3 years. Must not have been Presbyterian because it takes longer than that. And he became a minister, and he got a church, and he was the pastor of a church. Clearly, they didn't have a decent PNC. He got in the church, and he started preaching Christ. The problem was he couldn't preach his way out of a brown paper bag. He was terrible, and people were not inspired, and the church attendance dwindled, even though we all know church attendance is not all about the preacher's sermons, but they couldn't stand listening to him. So a year after he entered the ministry, he went back to the farm, bought the farm back because it had never actually sold. He went back to the farm and started plowing again, and out in that same spot in his field, on his tractor, he said, "Lord, I asked you for a sign. What? Clearly, I was not cut out to be a minister. What is it that you want me to do?" That moment, a loud clap of thunder clouded out overhead, and boom! PC means plant corn. Friends, the will of God is not easy to discern. And sometimes, when we get so wrapped up in our own mind, and our own thing, and our own agenda, as it were, we forget who the author is. We forget that this story is not one that we are writing by ourselves. Now, there are plenty of people, and if, for that matter, there are generations past of Presbyterians who believed in predestination. If you read Calvin, it's double predestination, in that God has an ultimate plan planned out for everybody from the beginning of before time began and knew the every step that everybody would take. And it's just not really good theology. We got to watch, because the Presbyterian police of years before will come running in that door and go, "You're not..." Just listen for a minute. I believe that God calls all of us to a specific purpose, and I believe that God, that end game is always the same, but I also believe that maybe, just maybe, God wrote an outline for a novel. It's up to us to help him write it for our own lives. We have our scripture reading this morning, which is Paul writing to the Colossians, and he says, "Because of this, since the day we heard about you..." Well, okay, since Paul and everybody else heard about this little upstart church with the Colossians, they have been praying for them. "We have not stopped praying for you and asking for you to be filled with the knowledge of God's will, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding." We have our Bible, and we have things that are the milestones, the mile markers, the tick points for God's will. You've got the Big Ten, the Ten Commandments, and you've got the greatest commandment: "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." We've got those as major bullet points. In my mind, they look like those Victorian picture hanging nails, which had the really fancy heads to them that the Victorian folk used to hang their pictures on their walls with, because everything had to be decorated, even the nails that you hung things with. They're specific points, but there's a whole lot of canvas to fill in that makes up our own lives. And so the question, why can't I see God's will for my life? From personal experience, the short answer in the life of Christina is because you didn't shush long enough to listen. You didn't open your eyes long enough to see. And you got on your own tangent about what you thought you wanted to do. Again, I say, music theory, anybody. It reminds me, maybe, just maybe, the path between birth and birth in the afterlife, maybe that storyline of our lives is more like one of those choose-your-own-adventure storybooks, where you're reading along, and you get to page 10, and it says, to enter the cave, turn to page 15. To run away from the cave, turn to page 20. And so you flip to whichever page, and you read for a little while longer, and it says, to climb the tree, turn to page 30. It's choose-your-own-storybook. Choose-your-own-adventure. Maybe we are co-authors in this with God. Maybe discerning the will of God and discerning where God is leading and where we're supposed to go and what we're supposed to do is really more like a conversation, is really more like you're going to end up at that final destination, but you might take the scenic route and you might take the express lanes. You might be cruising down 127 and decide to get off on 57 to head to I-75, or you might go down to 21. Or if you're really desperate to get into traffic, you might go all the way down to 96 or 94 and then go back across to Detroit that way. I don't suggest it. But anyway, my colleague Adam Hamilton puts it this way. He says, he thinks that the will of God is like this. God's intention is that our story be about redemption and love and faith and courage. There are twists and turns in this story, and there are times we take the story in a direction God would not have chosen for us. There are chapters in which we do all the writing, but the best chapters are those in which we hear God's inspiration and ideas, and we write the story of our lives together. How many of us, at one point or another, have been going through life and said, oh my gosh, I'm going to write a book? When I worked at Westminster, I swore that the chapter of my memoirs about my time at Westminster was going to be titled Waiting on Blank, and it was the organist at the church, because inevitably, I was the secretary, and inevitably it'd be time for doing the bulletin, and I'd have everything else except for the prelude, the postlude, the choral benediction, the anthem. It's like, honey, I only work 2 days a week. Help me out here. What if our life stories and the path we choose to take and the path we take is more like that? What if it's more like writing a story? What if it's more like sharing, co-authoring with our Lord? Because we have to remember that in following the will of God, it is not just the case of God drew this red line down the middle of the carpet and we're following it. What company was that with the commercial? One of those insurance companies. Fidelity, where you follow the line. I'm sorry, I don't see a pink and blue and green line running in front of me to show me where to go. Again, I say music theory twice. Anyway, maybe recognizing God's will for my life is recognizing where God is in the person next to me. Maybe recognizing God's will for my life is a reminder to me that I'm not the only one whose story God is working on. And that there are places where stories intersect and run together for a while. Kind of like concurrent freeways. You know, in Flint, when you're coming up I-75 and 23 joins in there and then you're on I-75 and 23 until you get up here and then 27 comes together and it's all I-75 to head up to the bridge. Maybe it's about taking the time to be aware of the people around you Maybe it's about taking the time to be aware of when somebody else's story needs more attention than our own. And maybe it's recognizing that God's will does not equal happiness. God does not call us to be Pollyanna. And I love that story, really I do, and it's one of my favorite movies. But God does not call us to be Pollyanna. God calls us to be faithful. And the God who created us and the God who gave us free will to make choices for ourselves knows full well that we sometimes make choices that he would not have made for us. Just like a parent watching a child or an aunt watching a niece or nephew make a choice that you know full well you probably shouldn't have done. Humorous story about that. I was about 4 years old. No, not four. I had the cast on when I was four. I was about 5 years old, and it was the first time Mom had let Aunt Karen take William and I out in the car by herself. She took us to ice cream. She took us to the ice cream shop across the street from the fire department, and she knew that the firemen were washing the fire trucks that night because she'd already driven by and had talked. Okay. So we could eat our ice cream and watch the fire trucks. Your pastor did what all little kids do. And you know there's those bumpers in the parking lot? And I was doing what little kids do and was pretending it was the balance beam. Well, my balance as a four-year-old was not as good as it is now, and I fell off and scraped my knee. Scraping my knee induced screaming bloody murder, and the fireman across the street thought I was dying and all this good stuff. But anyway, Aunt Karen, the thought going through her mind when she tells this story, is that she scoops me up, and the thought going through her mind was, oh, God, Sandy let me take the kids, and they're injured. She's never going to let me take the kids again. Not true. I moved out there for seminary, and anyway. She scooped me up, and she dusted off my knee, and she put the little, you know, little water and the little clean napkin on it. And the words that came out of my aunt's mouth were, I just knew you were going to do that. To which I responded, well, then why did you let me? Sometimes I think it works like that with God, where God goes, yeah, I knew that was going to happen. And we look at God and say, well, why did you let me? Because free will. Because God lets us do that. God lets us make our decisions. Could God be the one that just sits there and moves us around like chess pieces? Yes. Will he? That's not the God I believe in. I don't believe God works that way. Doesn't mean he couldn't, just means he doesn't. Pain and suffering happen. Bad decisions happen. And the joy of it is that we get to learn from those things and that those instances and those experiences inform who we are. And those experiences and those situations and those pieces of who we are, those chapters in our books, help inform us where that path is. Because those times, when we are in the darkest valley, when it is the darkest times of our lives, those are the times when our faith is tested. Those are the times when you see that one set of footprints in the sand, and it's that Jesus was carrying you. It's those times that that line lights up. At least that's how it works in my life. When I am right down there at the very bottom and going, oh, God, help. It starts blinking like a little beacon, like the little heart of Tahiti in Moana when it's in the bottom of the ocean and a little green stone starts blinking down there at the bottom. God's will for our lives is not about happiness. It's not about what makes us happy. Because let's face it, some of the things that make us happy translate into sin. So that's, you know, God's will is about faithfulness. Being faithful to finding that line. Or that valley that has the walls on either side. Said, oop, nope, you, nope, nope. Bumpers in the gutters of the bowling game of life, as it were. It's about knowing who you are. And more than that, knowing whose you are, knowing that you are claimed by a loving God who created you and sustains you and would do anything for you, even unto dying on a cross. It's about finding where your story intersects with the story of someone else and being mindful that God works through people in this world. And being mindful that you play a part in somebody else's life. And that if not for your presence in somebody else's life, their life would not be the same. I tell you right now, I would not be who I am right this minute if I hadn't had the last 9 months with you. I wouldn't be who I am right now if it hadn't been going through those dark experiences in my life. My father's alcoholism, my brother's suicide, take your pick. Each of us has those stories. Each of us has those things that make up who we are and they inform how we relate with each other. And more than that, they inform how we relate to our God. So maybe it is just a little bit, why can't I see the will of God in my life? Because I haven't shushed long enough to listen. Because I haven't opened my eyes enough to see. Because I haven't stopped long enough to realize that it's not all about what I want. That it's not all about my plan for my life. And that, yeah, the best chapters of my book are the ones when God had the pen. Amen.